Let's turn to Proverbs again. And I'm not going to be doing what we normally do. What we normally do is we just preach through the Bible, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And we did do that at the start of Proverbs, but now we're into the middle of Proverbs. I'm not sure you would thank me for doing it quite like that. And so we're taking topics, themes. And tonight's theme is money. But we'll be learning from the book of Proverbs as we go along. Money. The world is singing about money. Obviously the most popular theme in popular songs these days is love. But somebody said that the second most popular theme is money, and that may not be true. And reflection, there are a few songs out there about money, aren't there? Some older than others. From ABBA's Money, 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 to Sam Smith's Money on My Mind. And somebody else saying, cash rules everything around me. Wonder how you feel at the start of a sermon on the theme of money. Wonder if you feel a bit nervous. Wonder if many of the feelings we have about money are quite negative. Embarrassment, greed, worry. And it's a big deal, isn't it? And as you came to church, maybe you wondered, oh no, they're going to tell me to give more money away. Oh no. Maybe you didn't. God's word is always challenging, isn't it? Because he's God and we are not. And I pray God will challenge us tonight and change us where appropriate in this area tonight. And yet let's not forget that the heart of the Christian message is not primarily about what we do for God. It's about what God does for us. It's about grace. God's free gift of forgiveness and friendship, his free gift through Jesus Christ. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that we through his poverty might become rich spiritually. I don't know what your finances are like. That's probably a good thing. But certainly in the world out there, you don't need me to tell you there are some people who are in real trouble. They really can't pay the bills. They're drowning in an ever-thickening sea of debt. Others have the opposite problem. They have far too much money, but what to do with it? But even if we're somewhere in between, I guess many of us are, isn't money a big deal? I'm glad that the Bible speaks clearly on the big issues of life like money. Because I know I need to grow as a Christian in this area. I'm far from perfect in my approach to it. And I expect we all do too. This Bible book of Proverbs is scratching exactly where we're itching, because it's full of wisdom about really practical stuff. Not any old wisdom, just the wisdom of the world, but God's wisdom. As the refrain comes up again and again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I pray God will give us tonight immense wisdom to fear him. Not because we're facing his judgment, but because if we're trusting and following Jesus, we know how great a judgment he saved us from, that we might trust and submit to him in this area also. The Bible has so much to say about money, and I'm not going to attempt a complete theology of money from the Bible. Rather, we're going to ask, what does Proverbs say about money? And it says quite a lot, but three themes dominate. And the first is this: that money makes friends, then flies away. Money makes friends, then flies away. Would you turn, please, to Proverbs chapter 19? Proverbs chapter 19. We'll start here. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 4, page 458 on the Church Bibles. Where it says, wealth brings many friends, but a poor man's friends desert him. Verse 6. Many curry favor with a ruler, and everyone is the friend of a man who gives gifts. A poor man is shunned by all his relatives. How much more do his friends avoid him? Though he pursues them with pleading, they are nowhere to be found. Money makes friends. We study the book of Proverbs. There's some Proverbs that tell us how we ought to live. Other Proverbs just tell us how life generally is. And this seems to be in that secondary category. It's not telling us that life ought to be this way, that rich people ought to have friends, that poor people ought not to have friends. It's just an observation. This is how life is in this fallen world. Verse 4, wealth brings many friends, but a poor man's friends desert him. Wonder who you think is the most popular person in the world. And that's hard to gauge, isn't it? But according to the social media website Facebook, the most popular person in the world is the Colombian singer Shakira. Shakira has over 100 million people like her on Facebook. Pretty popular. If it's 100 million people, if they held hands, they'd go around the world two times. It gives you an idea of how many people like Shakira on Facebook. Now, you might not think it's a fair illustration, but it's not hard to see, is it, that money makes friends. Can we see the very real pain that's all around us? The big divide between rich and poor. And if that's a big divide in our country, then whatever we make of Bob Geldof's latest campaign, the even bigger divide between rich and poor across the world. Some of us, I guess that's all too close to the bone. If the bailiffs aren't coming, at least Christmas is. And maybe you just can't afford it this year. Maybe the college or university bills are coming. You're unemployed or facing retirement. How will you manage? Or just possibly you've got the opposite problem. Maybe you wonder sometimes, are my friends really genuine friends? Or are some of them just a bit parasitic? Just after my money or what I've got? I heard of a rich Christian who gets letters asking him for money, and maybe that's fair enough, but actually it's destroying his relationships. Yes, money makes friends, but the trouble is, of course, it doesn't last forever. Money makes friends, and then it flies away. Turn over a couple of pages, would you, to chapter 23, Proverbs 23, verse 5. Proverbs 23 verse 5. Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. Can we get that picture? Like £10 notes with wings, money just fluttering away. Cast but a look at riches, and they're gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. Money is like that proverbial treasure at the foot of a rainbow. You think you see where the rainbow hits the ground, you run towards it, but when you get to it, it's gone. You puff and pant. Maybe you struggle so much in life for money. Maybe you get a raise, but straight away the money's spent. It's gone. Even the super rich face this problem, don't they? Let me tell you about some super rich people who've gone bankrupt. Shane Filan, star of the boy band Westlife, he went bankrupt. Marvin Gaye went to number one with his song, Gotta Give It Up, but he had to give up his house and live in a van. Peter Stringfellow. George Best, one of the greatest footballers in history. George Best said, I spent 90% of my money on drink, women and fast cars, the rest I wasted. I guess we'd say he wasted it all in that case. And he went bust. Even multi-billionaire Donald Trump, he declared, he filed for bankruptcy four times. I could list 10 more examples. Money, it flies away in life. And if it flies away in life, how much more in death? No need to turn, but let me read for a moment Jesus' parable from Luke 12. I'll be very familiar to you. Luke chapter 12 verse 15. Jesus said, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. There I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. You fool, Jesus says. Learn wisdom, you fool. Learn that money flies away in death, if not before. Be on your guard, he says, against all kinds of greed. A person's life does not consist in the abundance of their possessions. I wonder, can we see the greed that's all around us when it comes to money? Sometimes people look down on the rich. They think they're so greedy. Sometimes people look down on the poor. They think they're so grabbing. And yet rich, poor, or just coping, sometimes we don't see the plank in our own eye. Well, there's the first big point about money in Proverbs. Money makes friends, then flies away. So is there a better way? If money is not all it's cracked up to be, is there a better way? There's got to be a better way. Well, secondly, there is. Secondly, better to be righteous than rich. Better to be righteous than rich. Turn with you to Proverbs chapter 16. Page 456, Proverbs chapter 16. Verse 8. Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. Better to be righteous than rich. Righteous to be right before God, to be in right relationship with him. Righteous. Better to be righteous than rich. Now why is that? Because as we relate with God, we find something that is far more valuable than money. We find unfailing love. Look over page, would you, to chapter 19. Verse 22. What a man desires is unfailing love. Better to be poor than a liar. What a man, woman, boy or girl desires is unfailing love. And it was the Beatles who sang Can't Buy Me Love. And whatever you make of the Beatles, they got that one right, didn't they? Can't buy me love. Not all the money in the world can buy love. Yet this is unfailing love, the Bible says. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Better to be righteous than rich. Because to be in right relationship with God is to be in divine love. We might think, yeah, it's still pretty great to be rich. And sure, it can have big advantages, but only for a moment. Some of you might remember the 1990s New York rapper called Biggie Small, or the notorious B.I.G. It's not my scene. But he sang a famous rap called More Money, More Problems. I can't quite do the New York accent, but More Money, More Problems. The song was about the problems rappers face as they get rich and famous. But the richer he became, the more rivals he had, so that 2 weeks before he was due to release the song, he was gunned down and shot dead. More money, more problems. I don't know if that man was a Christian or not, I have no idea. But it's better to be righteous than rich in life. How much more in death? Turn over, would you, to Proverbs 11. Let's see this clearly. Proverbs 11, verse 4. Proverbs 11, verse 4. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Better to be righteous than rich, because if in life righteousness brings life, in love, in death it brings deliverance. Wealth is worthless, £1 million, but worthless in the moment that Jesus returns to judge the world. In ancient history, I think they used to bury kings with lots of treasure. Like in Egypt, or I think in ancient Britain, they used to bury kings with ships, treasure, money, ships, to help them in the underworld. Put me right later if you're a historian. Contrast this story I've told you before about the great French Emperor Charlemagne. Legend has it that Charlemagne was buried in a great hall full of treasure, sitting on a throne. The story goes that 200 years ago, when they opened up the tomb, they found him there with his bony finger pointing to a Bible that was open on his lap, and the verse he was pointing at said this: "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul?" I don't know if that story is true or not. I hope it is, because it's a great illustration. Well, you may think that the biggest issue in our lives is finance. We've got to realize the biggest issue in our lives is not finance, but faith. Not what's in my safe, but what's in my soul. Better to be righteous than rich. But of course, we've got a big problem here. And a big problem because the Bible says there is no one righteous. Not even one, Romans 3 verse 10. In death we deserve God's judgment, not his deliverance. That's why we need Jesus. As the chapter in Romans goes on to say, we need the righteousness from God through faith in Jesus Christ. That is, if we trust in Jesus and not ourselves, then God treats us as if we were righteous like Jesus, and not like ourselves. If you've never trusted in Jesus, won't you do that tonight? Trust in his righteousness, not your own. Trust that he died to pay for our unrighteousness. Many of us have prayed that prayer. We're confident of God's love, confident of going to heaven. And yet the love of money is so tempting. The gold glitters so brightly. Should we pray specific prayers then about money? Pray that God will take away our love of money and give us instead a deep thirst for righteousness. Should we pray for help to invest not just in money, but in our relationship with God? Pray for wisdom as we make choices in life. Wisdom to make the decisions that enable righteousness to grow and flourish in our lives. Where to live, what to study, what job to apply for, how to spend our money, how to use our time, who to marry if we get the chance. These are not easy decisions. But let's pray for wisdom to do what won't just be good for our bank account, but that will be good for our godliness. Sometimes we don't know what that decision is. We can't understand. We're so confused. Well, let's pray that God will overrule and do as he knows best in the decisions that we have to make. Decisions that will be good for our godliness, that will help us to grow as Christians. If we have a family, decisions that will help our family as Christians, that will promote God's mission through the church in the community. Because better to be righteous than rich. There's more to be said about money from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs teaches us lots of things about money. It teaches us to save if we can, chapter 13, verse 11. It teaches us not to charge exorbitant interest on loans, chapter 28, verse 8. It teaches us to work hard. Now, that's so important. We're going to think about that properly next week, about work and study. But there's one more theme about money, one last theme that's emphasized more than, over and over again. So here's our third point, briefly. And finally, God says in Proverbs, give to the poor. Thirdly, give to the poor. I found at least 10 verses in Proverbs which urge us to give to the poor. Let's focus on just one. Proverbs 19. Would you turn over, would you? Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19, verse 17. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. Give to the poor. Now, that's not rocket science. It's on our TVs all the time, isn't it? If it's not Band-Aid, it's Children in Need or Comic Relief. Everyone knows it's good to give to the poor. Our problem is not with the instruction. Our problem is with the motivation, I suggest. Why should God's people give to the poor? Chapter 19, verse 17 again. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he's done. Now, one old translation suggested that if we give money to the poor, God will give that same money to us back again. Now, more recent translations agree that's not exactly what it means. We may never get the money back that we give away. But it does promise that God will reward us for giving to the poor. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean we're saved by doing good works? No, clearly not. Does it mean that the motivation for doing good is really selfish? No, not really. The motivation is really our relationship with God. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, it says. Jesus said that when he returns in judgment, he'll thank those who served him practically in life. He says on that day, we might say to him, when did you feed us? When did we feed you? When did we clothe you? When did we visit you? We might add to that list, when did we lend to you? But Jesus says, and only to turn, in Matthew 25, Jesus says that he will reply, whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Now, is he just talking there about service we do for other Christians? Proverbs here doesn't seem to be quite so specific. But we're sure of this. As we give to the poor, we're walking in the footsteps of our greatest brother, the Lord Jesus. And he is always worthy of our love. So we give to the poor. Sometimes Christians give the impression that it's bad to earn lots of money. But if we have this mindset of giving to the poor, well, if we can earn lots and give it away, then that's great. The great danger, of course, is that as our income grows, our lifestyle grows as well. And how can we fight against that? I heard of a doctor who worked out as a young man how much he needed to live on. And then as each year he got a pay rise, he just gave more and more away. Maybe this is hard for some of us to hear because actually you're quite poor. And you might not use that word, but you really can't afford the basics. Maybe it's slightly different. You're not absolutely poor, but money's still tough. Money's tight. Well, let's not be so tight as to be mean. Remember Jesus' story of the widow's mite. She only had one coin in all the world, but she gave it away. Wonder what we're planning to spend on Christmas. What we're planning to spend on luxuries and toys at Christmas without going into debt. If we can afford to do that without going into debt, then it's a good sign that we have money to give away, to give to the poor. Maybe you're young and you feel you haven't got much money. When I was a teenager, I didn't have much money. But I did have some, and looking back, I spent some of it in quite stupid ways. I remember spending a stupid amount of money on a posh jacket. Ridiculous, looking back. I wonder what you spend your money on. I'm sure many of you spend your money well. But let's get into the habit, even when we're young, of giving a proportion of our money away. Maybe 10%. Work it out yourselves. And let that habit last a lifetime. We began by noting how the world is singing about money. And wonderfully, God's talking about it too in the Bible here in Proverbs. As we close, no need to turn. I'm going to read for a final time from Proverbs chapter 30. And verse 7. Where he writes, two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. American money has these words printed on it, doesn't it? In God we trust. Well, shall we trust God in this area? Let's not depend on ourselves when it comes to money. But let's pray, give me neither poverty nor riches. Or as Jesus taught, give us this day our daily bread.